Welcome to St. David's Cathedral this Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate and remember the outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh and the birth of the Christian Church. Welcome to you, wherever you are, meeting online or on the telephone, either here in Tasmania or around the world. We're so glad that you have joined us this morning. This service is being filmed on the traditional lands of the Palawa people, who have had unbroken and continued custodianship of the lands and waters of Lutruwita, Tasmania for generations. Today we greet and pay respect to their elders, especially those joining us this morning. My name is Richard Condy and I'm the Bishop of Tasmania. I'll be leading our service today and preaching a little later on. Our reader today is Anita Booker, who is Church Relationship Development Manager for Alpha Australia here in southern Tasmania. Leading our prayers is the Reverend Scott Sargent, who is State Director of the Church Missionary Society. Our service today falls during our National Reconciliation Week, a time when we pause to renew our commitment to be people always working for reconciliation between Aboriginal and non-Indigenous people across our nation. You will hear a statement from me today, and we will offer prayers for reconciliation. As we prepare to worship, hear these words of our Lord from the Gospel of John. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me," says the Lord, "and let the one who believes in me drink, for out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water." Open our lips, O Lord, and we shall declare your praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, we come together spiritually from far and wide to meet with God and to take our part in the building up of his church. Today we will lift our hearts in thanks and praise, hear from God's holy word, and pray for this world and for ourselves. The Bible tells us to approach God confidently through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, we must confess our sins, seeking forgiveness through God's boundless goodness and mercy. The Apostle John said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need your help. We have wandered from your way. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us. Wipe out our sins and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live the new life to your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle John also said, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Grace and peace be with you. Come, let us sing to the Lord, shout to the rock of our salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his face with songs of joy. As we come to hear God's word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to your word, may we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading is from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A few days stand out in history as days that changed the world. Most of us will recall where we were on Tuesday, the 11th of September, 2001. Four flights were hijacked and two planes crashed into the World Trade Center in New York, one into the Pentagon and one crashing into a field in Pennsylvania. That day, 2,996 people died in the USA. Or you might remember July 20, 1969 as the day that changed the world when the first man stepped onto the moon. Unless, of course, you're one of the people who believe in the conspiracy theories that it all happened in a backlot of Universal Studios. Or if you're old enough, the 8th of May 1954, the date of the end of World War II in Europe and the return of hope for a grief-stricken world. Many of you have your own significant days. Your wedding day, the day of the birth of your first child, or maybe even your second or third, or sad days, like the date of the death of a loved one. These personal moments change us, and they are the high points or sometimes the low points of our journey through life. And some of those public events change the course of history. I once went on a walking tour of New York City, and the guide referred to September 11 as that day, so much as it had affected the psyche of that city and more broadly the USA and the rest of the world. I was reminded of this last year when I inadvertently left a small bottle of water in my carry-on bag for an international flight. The Bible has a couple of big days, days that change the world, days that shape identity. We celebrated one 50 days ago in this cathedral, the day of resurrection when death was defeated, sin atoned for, and Jesus proclaimed Lord of all. And today, we celebrate another of those big days that changed the world, the coming of the Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost. Of course, before it was a day of Christian significance, Pentecost was a day of Jewish significance. Pentecost was the celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, but had become by Jesus' time especially a harvest festival, 50 days after Passover, a week of weeks, that is 7 weeks, plus one day for the mathematicians amongst us, and was sometimes known as the Feast of Weeks for this reason. This was why so many people were in Jerusalem that particular weekend. The streets would be clogged with people celebrating and rejoicing the gracious provision of God in the harvest. Now, if you've been around church for a few Pentecosts, you might be familiar with this story. Luke records it for us in Acts. When the day came, Luke tells us, the disciples were gathered together in one place. And Luke tells us that three things happened that Pentecost day. First, a mighty sound. Please notice that it wasn't a wind, but a sound that sounded like the wind. Second, they were visited by a miraculous sign, tongues like fire that divided and came to rest on each person there. Again, it was not fire, but something like fire. Third, there is this amazing phenomenon of people being able to speak in other languages or dialects as the Holy Spirit of God comes on them and gives them ability. At one level, three seemingly natural signs, wind, fire, and word, but of supernatural origin and quality. It was an astonishing and miraculous event. For some with eyes to see and a keen eye for biblical history, there are some clues about the meaning of these three things. Wind. Wind is sometimes equated with life and often with the Spirit of God. You see it in Ezekiel chapter 37 that speaks of the wind and the Spirit and breath. Fire is often a sign of the presence of God. Remember that fire and smoke were present when the law was given on Mount Sinai, and remember that this is the Feast of Weeks. But it was also in Exodus 13 that God led them by a pillar of cloud and fire. Intelligible words were lost at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, where different languages threw people into confusion and they were unable to communicate with each other. And what transpires here may well be an indication of the reversal of that curse. Whatever the significance, God was moving in an extraordinary way this first Pentecost. The Spirit, the presence of God, and the ability to communicate. And all of this was picked up by the crowd. Because the world had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, there were people with a lot of language backgrounds in Jerusalem. And the list here sounds a bit like a United Nations delegation. Verse 5 says that there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And then we get the detail. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together, he writes, in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, "What does this mean?" We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. What does this mean? I heard a story recently of a man in one of our churches who had met a girl who had suffered from a bad back for years. As he was talking to her, the man felt prompted by the Spirit of God within his own spirit to ask if he could pray with her. As he prayed, asking God to heal her, she started to exclaim as her back became warm and then hot, and the pain she had carried for years started to abate. And she straightened up and the pain was gone. You can imagine her asking the same question. What just happened? What does this mean? A few months ago now, I went down to the Southern Beaches Anglican Church, our new church plant, for a service of baptism and confirmation. That day I met Tim and Katie. Their lives had hit some serious hurdles. Depression, suicidal plans, a termination, anxiety, substance abuse. They landed in Tasmania, far from their supports, and one day found themselves at Southern Beaches Anglican. Through a couple of false starts, they encountered God's unconditional love and the deeply attractive grace in Jesus. And their lives were turned around, and they told their story to the congregation, and it was great to see them baptized and confirmed that day. And they were still saying, "What just happened? What does this mean?" Just like the day of Pentecost. Now, if you'd been following the story of Acts, you might have an indication of the answer, because back in Acts chapter 1, just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus had said to the disciples, "In not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he explains further. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This was that. God had turned up in a way he'd never turned up before. This Pentecost was a turning point moment in history. But it was unsettling. And so it was little wonder that the crowd said, "What does this mean?" And as is always the case, the scriptures give the interpretation of our experience. Peter stood up, and he addressed the crowd that had assembled, and in explaining what they had just witnessed, he told them what was written in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you again from verse 17. He says this, In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, upon men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And down to verse 21, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, this momentous day that changed the world was the day that God had promised from old. Not just in Joel, but in Isaiah and Ezekiel as well. That a day was coming when the Spirit of God was not just poured out on an individual for a particular task, as it had been on the kings and prophets for their tasks, but as Joel says, it will be poured out on all people, on sons and daughters, on young men and old men, all my servants, both men and women. The Spirit had come, and this Spirit was now available to every person. People's hearts would be changed. In John's Gospel, in Jesus' farewell discourse, we read that God would make his home in each one of us and live in us by his Spirit. And the day of Pentecost was the day that this took place. There are two implications that come, at least two, that come out of this story. And the first one is that Jesus has gone, but God is still with us. It was just 10 days ago that we celebrated the Feast of Ascension in the church. That day we celebrate that the earthly Lord Jesus, concluding his earthly ministry and his incarnation, returns to reign in heaven. As one wit put it last week on Facebook, he was going to work from home from heaven. It's a wonderful and powerful reminder that Jesus reigns. But if you think about it, there's something slightly worrying about the Feast of Ascension. This Jesus, who at Christmas is remembered as one who is born Emmanuel, God with us, he was God enfleshed and dwelling amongst us. At his ascension into heaven, we see the moment that he was no longer with us. And there's a moment there where I'm sure the disciples felt very unsure. He's gone away. He's no longer Emmanuel with us anymore. But the wonder of Pentecost is that God the Holy Spirit has come to us, and he's made his home in each of us, individually and in the church. And he dwells among, in, and through us. The Spirit has come. Jesus is gone, that's true, but God is still with us. He's tabernacling, that is, pitching his tent, not in the body of his Son, but in the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body of the church, and in each person who knows God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is gone, true, but God is still with us because of this day that changed the world. The second implication of the day of Pentecost is that the Spirit leads our mission. I want you to notice that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke words of God in the languages of people, not as a trick, but so that many heard the salvation of God in Christ. The people said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." And I want you to notice that in Joel, in Peter's sermon, that the coming of the Spirit on all flesh is so that the people will prophesy. That's verse 18. That is, they will tell God's word to the world, so that in verse 21, we read the climax here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, the outpouring of the Spirit for prophecy is so that people will be saved. It's been really appropriate, hasn't it, that our Bible reading today came from the leader of Alpha Australia here in Tasmania, Anita Booker. Because Alpha is a ministry of the church that exists to proclaim the Lord Jesus, to tell of his works, to prophesy about him. It's so great that our prayers are going to be led today by Scott Sargent, who's the state director of the Church Missionary Society, sending people out of the world to learn languages so that people of every language and tribe might hear the gospel of Jesus. We haven't read it this morning, but the result of Peter's sermon was that people asked not just what does this mean, but they asked what shall we do? And 3,000 people accepted the message and were baptized on the spot that day. The point is that the Holy Spirit poured out on the first church at the first Pentecost led and empowered their mission, and he continues to lead and empower ours. In every parish and ministry of the Diocese of Tasmania, we're on mission. We're called to be a church for Tasmania, making disciples of Jesus. We move out from here to our broken and needy world in the power of the same Spirit to declare the wonders of God, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. His Spirit leads us and gives us boldness so that we can take up the mission that God has entrusted to us. And it's because we have him that we can be bold and confident, trusting that God's presence goes with us and calling to the mission in our lives. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost, a day that changed the world, the coming of the Spirit of God poured out on all his people to assure us that God is with us every day, that he dwells in us and in our church, that God is here, and to propel our mission so that every tribe and language and people might know the salvation and mercy of God. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, thank you for sending your Spirit to us. Thank you that Jesus' ascension brings the Spirit down so that we might be indwelt by you, we might know you, we might have your presence in us. And we thank you that that same Spirit takes us and moves us into mission so that we might prophesy and tell about the wonders that you have done, so that every tribe and nation and language in the world, every culture, might know the salvation that we have in Christ. Please make us faithful with this promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now join together in this ancient statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This week I made a statement for Reconciliation Week and shared it with every Aboriginal corporation and organisation here in Tasmania. I'd like to share that with you now as we lead into our prayers. I acknowledge today that I'm standing on the ancient lands of the Muwinina peoples and pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, especially during this Reconciliation Week. We in the Anglican Diocese of Tasmania are committed to reconciliation between Aboriginal peoples and non-Indigenous peoples in our state of Tasmania and in the nation of Australia. We believe that God saw fit to make all the nations to inhabit the whole earth and allotted their times of existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live. We are so thankful that in God's great wisdom, he entrusted these islands of Lutruwita, Tasmania, to the Palawa people to live in and to care for. And we acknowledge their unbroken and continued custodianship and their deep connection to these lands and waters. We acknowledge with sadness that the arrival of European peoples here led to the death of many Aboriginal peoples, the violent dispossession of their lands, and the destruction of culture and language. We acknowledge the pain and devastation that ensued, and the huge loss of life. We are sorry. We acknowledge and accept responsibility for our own Anglican history in this dispossession and destruction. We are grateful that some of our Anglican leaders from early days urged for care to be taken of Aboriginal Tasmanians. However, many did not. We are aware that Anglicans were involved in the taking of land and the killing and displacement of the original inhabitants of these islands. We mourn and lament our sins and our failings. We're sorry and we ask for forgiveness. We acknowledge that our churches stand on stolen land. Reconciliation is at the heart of the Christian message, that God was reconciling the world to himself and us to one another. Following Jesus, we desire to embody the good news of God's love in word and deed, for reconciliation and hope for Aboriginal peoples and for all non-Indigenous peoples who live in these lands, now called Tasmania. We affirm our commitment to seek out, to listen, to learn, and to take action for justice through building and deepening real relationships with Aboriginal peoples across our state and the nation of Australia. Thank you for listening.
Let us join together in the prayer which Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care, and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and your truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Have mercy on the poor and oppressed. Hear the cry of those in need. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. The Collect of the Day. Almighty God, at the Feast of Pentecost, you sent your Holy Spirit to the disciples, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel. Empower us with the same Spirit to witness to your redeeming love and draw all people to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks. The response to the petition, Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. We pray for the nations. We give you thanks for the nations of the earth and pray especially for those people and places ravaged by pandemic, war, civil unrest, famine, and natural disaster. Guide with your wisdom and power the leaders of the nations, so that everyone may live in peace and mutual trust. Sharing with justice the resources of the earth, give the people of this land a spirit of unselfishness, compassion, and fairness in public and private life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church. We give thanks for your universal church and each local expression of that larger and eternal reality. We pray for our Tasmanian Anglican Church and those entrusted by you to lead it, Bishop Richard, the clergy, and all lay leaders. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters who gather today in fear of their lives. May their example embolden our witness here in Australia. We pray for those sent out from our state as missionaries of your gospel. Today, we especially think of those serving with the Church Missionary Society, including our Tasmanian missionaries, Tim and Emma in Southeast Asia, Kate in South Asia, and Morris and Amanda heading to Cambodia. Send out the light and truth of your gospel and bring people everywhere to know and love you. Enable those who minister among us to commend your truth by their example and teaching. May we gladly receive and obey your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need. We commend to your fatherly care, merciful God, all who are in sorrow, sickness, discouragement, or any other trouble, thinking especially of those for whom this season of COVID-19 has caused anxiety and distress, and those who you have placed on our heart who are in any need, and we name them silently before you now. Give them patience and a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who care for them, including all doctors, nurses, emergency service workers, and allied health workers. Bring all who are suffering and those who are helping them into the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have gone before us. We praise you for all your servants whose lives have honoured Christ. Encourage us by their example, so that we may run with perseverance the race that lies before us. and share with them the fullness of joy in your kingdom.
A prayer for Reconciliation Week. Holy Father, God of love, you are the creator of all things. We acknowledge the pain and shame of our history and the sufferings of our peoples. We ask for your forgiveness. We thank you for the survival of Indigenous cultures. Our hope is in you because you gave your Son, Jesus, to reconcile the world to you. We pray for your strength and grace to forgive, accept, and love one another as you love us and forgive and accept us in the sacrifice of your Son. Give us the courage to accept the realities of our history so that we may build a better future for our nation. Teach us to respect all cultures. Teach us to care for our land and waters. Help us to share justly the resources of this land. Help us to bring about spiritual and social change to improve the quality of life for all groups in our communities, especially the disadvantaged. Help young people to find true dignity and self-esteem by your Spirit. May your power and love be the foundations on which we build our families, our communities, and our nation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers, and you have promised that when two or three ask together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, the desires and prayers of your people as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life eternal. Amen. As our service comes to a close, may I encourage you to continue to reach out to one another. Please make contact with us if you have any questions about the Christian faith. Please check out the websites of Alpha Australia and the Church Missionary Society and continue to work for reconciliation and peace. St. David's Cathedral here has daily services on our Facebook page. You're always welcome to join in one of those. Let's pray our final prayers together. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A blessing written by Elder Uncle Vince Ross. May the God of creation warm your heart like the campfires of old. Bring wisdom and peace as shown to the first peoples of this land. Shake off the dust from the desert plains by refreshing rains, followed by the glow and warmth of the sun. Let the light of God show us the right path and to stand tall like the big river gums, drawing life from ever-flowing waters. And the Pentecost blessing. May God stir up within you the gift of the Spirit, that you may confess Jesus Christ as Lord and proclaim the joy of the everlasting gospel wherever you may be. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.